First Thessalonians, chapter 5. Did we ever get to 1 Peter yesterday? 1 Peter chapter 2, did we study that?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're done with edify. Everybody understand what edify means? To build the bride. And we are the living, well, to build the temple in one parable, we are the living stones, and to another we are each, now we are of the body of Christ. And so everything that you do in thought, word, and deed is in that, towards that direction. All right? Now, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. This is an interesting issue here. Beseech is a word that's used to ask or to pray or to request or to entreat or to beg. But it's a different, there's two specific words that mean the same thing as but applied to one of equal stature, you're doing it, or one of where you asking God. And there's a whole lot hidden in the New Testament by which one of those words is used when it says ask or beseech or pray. So, the word here, we beseech you, is eroteo. It's used when the petitioner is on equal standing or equality or in familiarity with the person with whom he requests. So here Paul is saying to the Thessalonians that he's on equal, by the use of that word, he's not putting himself above them in any way. He is saying that he is of them, therefore no difference. Now, it's used here, this is, to me, we could have some fun with this, because we could go through every place in the Bible where it says ask or pray or beseech and see which one of the words is used. But let's just take one example. Go to Luke 7.
Would you say the three words again?
Two
words?
Yeah, one is eroteo and the other is itio. Oh, it's a whole bunch of things. It's request, ask, beg, entreat.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay, so in Luke, I didn't go to Luke when I asked to go to Luke. I don't know yet, do I? Did I say what chapter?
No.
I think so.
Yeah, Luke 7. Carolyn just read my mind.
You actually said it.
I asked who said it. Okay, we need to go down. Yeah, let's. Yeah, let's go. Let's see the whole thing. Start in chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, remember that John the Baptist was the first prophet in 400 years. He was the most highly esteemed man in all of Israel and all of wherever there were Jews. I mean, we have nothing like him in our society. We have no way of, if you can imagine that, if if the ability to speak even hadn't been there for 400 years, and then somebody, I mean, but here it's even more so because they know and understand that he is speaking as from God. Big deal.
Yeah, but he fit all the requirements of the culture and society, and because of his parents and who right. he was by birth, and then the way he lived, it was all just a perfect
right.
setup.
And it was, we can't possibly put anyone, the person who are the who's the highest esteemed in this in our culture, are 10 of them that are highly esteemed in this culture, they wouldn't equal how the esteem that John the Baptist had. So he, John, now sends two of his disciples to find out if Jesus is the one or should we wait for another. All right? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, and saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, and gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messenger of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? For to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, and justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, now he's talking now to those that had rejected John's baptism. And remember, John's in the Baptist church, I've heard many people say that the first, that they didn't baptize. But the Jews baptized for hundreds of years. And as you know, they baptized between what they called the days of awe, the period between Rosh Hashanah, the birth of Christ, and Yom Kippur. Now, so there's, in this time, again, remember, all of Israel and all of the Jews all over the world that had any sense knew that this was the time that was prophesied by Daniel, the fulfill all righteousness, to, et cetera, that we've read many times. So, we've talked about before, the people sold their homes if they lived in Rome or in Cyprus or Crete or all these places, and they came and bought properties there, or rented them maybe because they knew it was Jubilee year. But anyway, so everybody, the whole nation, all of the people were in great expectancy. And then John the Baptist came first, and what did he do? He didn't baptize like they had been baptized. He went to the other side of the Jordan and called the people And his preachment had to be that you are not worthy, you and I are not worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. So we leave the promised land and go onto the other side. We have nothing in our culture to understand how big that was. Man, that was just an affront to everybody except the poor. So the ones that weren't baptized, we still, they're concerned about this guy, and the Romans are very concerned about him. And so now he's talking to those that weren't baptized. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like children, like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Okay, now, remember, he's speaking to these guys that had rejected the baptism of John. So watch. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now the word for here, desired, is this word. But it's he's using the word of equal footing. So he is dismissing everything that John had said and everything that Jesus had said. And he's just, for an intellectual curiosity, he's inviting Jesus to come and be his, you know, his freak guest for an evening. So they can, I won't go there. So, when we or the disciples pray, we pray to the Father with the not the word. We pray to one who is far above us, and that's Aito. All right? But if we went through, if anyone wants to do a fascinating word study, go through and just look up in the lexicon where it says the word pray or beg or ask or desire. You'll see that there's these two words, and compare all the words where it happened with Mary and Martha. I mean, it's all over the place. I don't want to go through it today, but okay. Brethren, wait a minute, where are we? We got back to Thessalonians. I feel kind of loopy today. What do I? Yes, I had too much coffee. I shouldn't have made that second pot. Why? See, it's your fault. And we at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which are labor among you. Whenever the scriptures talk about brethren, it's the Greek word adelphos. And it means, and you got to hear this, it means born of the same mother and father. Our mother is the New Jerusalem, our father is God. So that's the only ones that he called brethren were the ones that had that situation, that condition. Our mother is Jerusalem, and our father is God. That's why he said, call no man on earth father. That's why there's so much confusion about honor thy father and thy mother. Who are you honoring? If you read this carefully, Christ never honored his mother and father. He did until he reached the age of consent, or whatever it was called. Everybody understand that? To know, we beseech you, to know them which labor among you. And again, remember there's two words for no. One is gnosis or gnosis or epignosis. And the other is eidon. And in the scriptures, no, G-N-O-S-I-S or gnosis or epignosis is spiritual knowledge. It's not it's not learned or gained from the senses. You can't know it by the five or however many senses we have. What? I forgot how many senses we have.
That's okay because you're a little loopy this morning. We understand.
Operating on that sixth sense.
What? What'd you say?
Nonsense. You're operating in that sixth sense.
It's coffee. Sixth sense is coffee. It's
coffee. To know is to know by the five senses. See, I do that. To know by the five senses. And now.
Does that just mean recognize or understand who's?
Yeah. Them which labor is to be your it's ones that are they push it all away. Among you is there that there are from a, this is another we can't do this in English, but in Greek among you is en hymen, and it's from a fixed position. In other words, that they've labored among you from a fixed position. They weren't like people that came in and traveled like we have today or the television guys. It's that labored in a fixed position among us. Among yourselves. No, excuse me. But wait a minute. I got confused. To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, this is this thing where over, it's either from a position of a man-made definition of over you, or it's organic. It's what happens. It happens, they're over you because of that they are speaking and they have spoken from a fixed position. And that they have been among you for a long, long time. Now here, that's talking about the elders. And it means that we admonish that those who admonish us and who exhort us, that it's not some fake deal that if you got a dress on, then you know. It's that which is organically seen by all people, by all the members. Now, and it is, it's just what it is. Does everybody understand that a little bit?
Except for the dress part.
Well, I was thinking about when I ran the dresses off when my friend was buried, and you remember when I kind of disrupted a funeral.
Being like clerical robes.
Yeah.
It's really all about servitude. It's not over you in, you know, any other way than that you're a servant, just like Jesus was
right.
The servant.
Right.
And he was over them, but as a servant.
But it's the important part is that which is revealed by the five senses, and that which is seen as an organic thing, that it doesn't. It's not because of birthright or it's like in the Jewish structure, the high priest had to be they had to be go all the way back their lineage to Aaron. And so they're the only ones that could be a high priest. But some of the high priests were dumber than a box of rocks. And so the Levites had to teach the high priest every year what to do in all the services that he did. And there, someone was over you by edict. Well, that's no more in the New Testament. No one can be over you by an edict from man. Okay? It's the congregation. It's the congregation as a body that exercises discipline and gave judgments instead of some supposed leader. All right? Now, let's look at that a minute, because this is important. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. By the way, there were the churches in this that Paul is speaking to, and all of the churches that exist, were not homogeneous. They looked different. They looked different because of the culture they were in. They looked different because of the way it had organically came into being. And so they didn't have any of this sameness. They had fundamental sameness on the belief of that Jesus Christ was in them, that he was the hope of glory. But all this other stuff and the arguments about, you know, who baptizes you, who didn't, and all the different divisions that have happened over 2,000 years are meaningless to God. And so it's the congregation itself that exercises judgment and discipline. It isn't an elder or it isn't a... Amen? And that's what we've got to see that we are... There's no one more important than anyone else. If there is, it's, as we've heard me say so often, the most important one in our body is somebody help me.
Shannon.
All right, 1 Corinthians 5. Remember, well, let's just read it. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged or determined already, as though I were present, concerning this him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and of my spirit, where the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, your glorying is not good. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are leavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, he's exhorting the congregation to exercise the judgment. He's not telling some supposed leader to go do it. He's exhorting the entire congregation to take the action. Amen? Well, we don't have enough time because these are important, and maybe I won't be loopy the next time we meet. Anybody have any questions about anything we talked about? To me, the most interesting is this word, the two different words for ask or pray or beg or beseech or desire that defines who you're talking to. All right? And some of these subtleties we don't have in English, so. That's why I've said so often, English is the worst language ever invented to understand spirit matters.
Sort of like, I got this thing in German where they, you know, you speak to somebody on an equal basis, but all the other times you talk formal, you know, until you get to a place of, you know somebody well enough to be.
Yeah, it's the same in Spanish. It's the same in Spanish. And same in a lot of languages, a lot of the Romance languages, that there is that distinction. And it's an affront. That's society-wide if you use the wrong word, or if you use that intimate word when you just met somebody. And that's why this thing is an affront. But it's, again, it's the body that organically is the exercises discipline and judgment. And that's what's so important. Amen? Anybody have anything else about this morning?
Well, I'm just still thinking about this idea, because, like, you know, Joe Santa's friend, a lady she's known for many, many years, you know. And then
after eight years,
still referring to formal, you know, and it's like to finally get to this place, and this guy just says to Jesus, you know, hey buddy. And it's like, that's the, you know, if it's that big a deal, you know, just on this normal level, you know, when you're faced with, you know, Jesus himself in the room, you're like going, it's a little.
Yeah, it's like you're telling Jesus, hey, bro. Hey, dude.
Especially if you don't even believe all, and it's like, so then he goes along and he yells at the
Pharisees. What are you laughing? What's going on?
I said you were with it.
Huh?
He downloaded it.
It's like Jesus telling the disciples, I call you my friend. It's like the whole of the transformation.
When he told them all things.
Yeah.
But he didn't call them friends at the first.
But he did.
At
one point, that was
just before he died.
Yeah, it was a changeover.
Because he had told them all things and they had understood all things. All right, take a big guy.